Welcome to the Monster Club.
An honest look at horror movies from lifelong horror fans.
Fair warning, you may not have seen this movie. We have... Spoilers Ho! I'm Jethel.
And I'm Tuck. We have come back from seeing the new Ghostbusters. Now I can tell. I didn't watch your review.
Okay, you have not seen my review.
I've not seen your car review, and I've not seen your cinemaunrest.com review.
Okay.
I will read that later. So I wanted to talk to you just having seen the movie and fresh impressions and not have myself geared up to be defensive of the movie because of your – so I'm going to give you my review of the movie first because of that.
Okay, first impressions. What do you think?
I had fun. Mm-hmm. It's one of the only 3D movies I've seen that has done 3D really well.
Oh, you saw it in 3D.
I don't know if this was just a Cinemark XD thing, but the 3D effects went above and below the boundaries of the frame ratio. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The black bars in the top and bottom of the screen, the 3D effects actually swooshed up out of the frame of the movie, which I thought was fantastic. I loved that.
Okay, that's interesting.
That was a fantastic effect. I loved all the cameos. I thought they were done respectfully and not overly, corny or campy at all. It was original characters, and they were all just dropping in to say hello, and they didn't wink, wink, and nudge, nudge at the audience. They just kind of were there, and then they were gone. Oh, yeah.
Full spoilers here. Okay. Cameo is the bust of Harold Ramis.
Yes.
We can't speak of any acting on this, of course, because it's a bronze bust of Harold Ramis.
It's kind of in the background, but the camera settles on it for a moment, and you're like, oh.
Yeah, they made a point to point it out, and that was fine.
Yeah,
but the timing
of the shot was great.
Right, I mean, they made it look like perhaps he used to teach at the university or something like that. It was just a bronze bust in the hallway at the university, and they settled on it. Okay, that was a good little tribute. I enjoyed that one.
Yeah. And then there was, I'm blanking on her name again. Hang on a second.
Janine Melnitz.
Yes, Annie Potts.
Let's go in order. I want to talk about this. So the next one is Bill fucking Murray.
Yeah.
And I say Bill fucking Murray because that's what he's called. If you go to thechive.com, they have
a whole thing.
They got a whole thing. They got T-shirts and hats and all those things. It's BFM, Bill fucking Murray.
That's his official middle name, huh?
Yes. I was disappointed in his cameo. And
let me
tell you why.
Why is that?
He looked bored as hell. I don't know if it's just the way he was playing the character or whatever, but he looked like he didn't want to be there.
To be fair, Bill Murray has always played his characters being a little lethargic. You know? I mean, think back to the groundskeeper in, what am I thinking
of? Caddyshack.
Caddyshack. That guy, he was just kind of a layabout, you know? He talked with a, it's just something about his character. If you think back to his character in Ghostbusters, it wasn't like he was, like, full of energy all the time.
No, I'm not talking about full of energy. It seemed to me like he did not want to be there.
No. I think that was just his acting style.
Maybe.
I've never seen him play, the only time I've ever seen him really energized as an actor would be when he comes to see the error of his ways at the conclusion of Groundhog Day.
Mm.
When he works to get it right and improve himself. There you see a change in the character. But in the beginning of the movie, he's pretty, he's got that kind of meh air about him.
But he has that going for him, so.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
Who was next?
Next in line was Annie Potts, wasn't it?
She was at the hotel.
Yes.
Just before they found what's his name.
Yeah, I think Annie Potts was next in line, and I think she did fine. Of course, she did her very thick Brooklyn accent. What do you want?
Yeah. I thought that was great. It was a little bit on the nose, but...
Well, they also had, of course, the callback to Annie Potts' Ghostbusters, what do you want? On the answering machine.
Yeah. I heard that. That was nice.
All right. Next in line, we had Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, he was the cabbie.
And I don't know. That's...
I almost didn't recognize him. He hasn't aged well. No, he hasn't,
but I've seen recent pictures and stuff like that, so I knew it was him. And
yeah.
I don't know. It was just, that one was very cheesy.
Yeah, and they stuck in a whole bunch of reference lines, but I think they just kind of gave that to him because, you know, he was like, hey, I'm one of the originals. Let me do what I want.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's fine. It's definitely not one of the high points of the movie. Definitely not the best cameo at all, by far.
I think I could have done without I Ain't Afraid of No Ghosts.
Yeah.
I could have
they
done
probably tried
that.
A whole bunch of stuff, and what we got was probably the least cringeworthy of all the stuff they tried.
Yeah, that was a little too on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
See, who was next?
They were probably worried that people wouldn't recognize them. I mean, I almost didn't recognize...
You want to see something scary?
Janine. What's that?
Want to see something scary? Just do a Google search for, oh God, what the hell is the name of that movie? Nothing But Trouble with Dan Aykroyd. He's in old man makeup and he kind of looks like he does now.
Oh my gosh, I saw this movie in the theaters. He's the one with the dick nose.
Yeah, but
oh
he
my
kind
God.
Of looks like that now, doesn't he?
I forgot about this movie. Holy shit. I completely forgot about this movie, but now all my memories of how freaking peculiar this movie was. PG-13. What was my dad doing taking us to see this? And okay, it was 1991.
Yeah.
That's not too bad. I was already a teenager. So, it was PG-13. My dad definitely. Let's see. 19. Yeah, I got to do math here. Hang on a sec. Yeah, that would have been fine. I was just a little surprised to see that makeup.
Okay, anyway. I thought his line about Ain't Afraid of No Ghost was a bit too on the nose, a little cheesy. Arguing, but I don't want to go that south. Can't you see shit going on here?
Yeah. Ain't Afraid of No Ghost. Yeah, okay. It was a little on the nose.
It was a little,
but that's okay. That's all okay. Right. It's not like it drags the entire movie down or anything.
Yeah. Sigourney Weaver.
I thought she was one of the best.
Yeah, she did very good as the mentor who was brought in to help.
Kate McKinnon's character, Gillian Holtzman.
Right.
Yeah, she was her mentor.
Right, and they're trying to construct the new containment system because at this point there's only one ghost contained.
That's right. No, there isn't any. No, they let it go. It killed Bill Murray.
Bill fucking Murray. So Bill, they don't have a ghost contained anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. And then of course Ernie Hudson.
Yeah.
Who did great job. Where's my hearse? I got four funerals this weekend. Well, can't you just stack two of them at a time?
We
can't stack them like cordwood.
I thought he said, like, can't stack them like pancakes or something.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
His line was pretty good. I'm glad they saved him for last, because, like, of course he's her uncle. Of course. You know, I mean, it's not like they're saying it's the same character or anything, but they're just kind of winking at the fans of the original. But I thought that was a nice touch.
Okay. Other cameos.
Really?
Non-actor cameos.
Okay, who we got?
The Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
That was funny.
He's kind of a haunted parade float.
Yeah. I liked the reference.
And that was okay. It was fine. He lands on them and they're like, I can't believe this shit.
And I like how they called back to the, not called back, you know, within the movie, they called back to the Swiss Army knife that everyone thought, well, that's going to be useless. You know? But then she just pulls it out and and that's it.
Other cameo, which I was exceedingly disappointed in, was Slimer.
I don't know. I kind of liked it. This Slimer was more, you know, the real Ghostbusters Slimer.
It was very cartoonish. It was.
Yeah. It definitely was not.
He carjacked Ecto-1.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Ecto-1, goes driving around. He comes back
with a female Slimer.
With a female Slimer.
Now, I want to say that female Slimer.
And I'm not talking about a well-done female Slimer. I'm talking about a beehive blonde wig and drag makeup. I believe that's something they actually did in the cartoon.
Yeah, that's. I'm going to say I remember that as well, that there was a female Slimer in the cartoon.
But it was just so weird and out of place.
Yeah, it was kind of, you know, if they had just briefly shown her, you know, that would have been a fun wink. But instead, they made it
a joyride.
They put her, you know, right slap dab in the middle of the shot every time she's there. And
then the comment, that ghost is having the time of his life. Really? But what I would have liked to see, you know what would have made that scene awesome?
What's that?
You know, they're weaving in and out. You know, they're hitting everything in sight. They're just having a big old ghost joyride. If they came back around, and I know it isn't possible because he's retired and he does not want to act anymore.
Rick Moranis
hanging on the hood of the car.
Like as a civilian that almost got bowled over. And he's just like,
hanging someone get me off of this thing!
That would have been great.
But do it as an actual cameo of his character from the original Ghostbusters.
Like it's either the same character or very similar.
Right, have him do the same. There's no reason why that character can't actually exist in the universe. He wasn't a Ghostbuster. He was their accountant.
Yeah, that's right.
He could have been there.
That would have been great, but I applaud his decision to focus on his family.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he quit for good reasons.
Yeah. Liz and I were talking about that while I was recording outside the theater. It would have been great to see him, but we understand why.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe he'll come back in two once he sees.
Yeah, I doubt it. I think he's gone. Yeah. But, okay, so that's all the cameos. Overall, the acting I thought was fine. The girls did a great job. It was funny. I did not hate this movie, and I didn't say I was going to hate this movie. I said I hated the trailer.
Yeah, you know what? Paul Feig had a few things to say about that trailer, too. I saw an interview where he said that the studio was saying we got to link it back to the original, and Paul Feig was like, I don't think you should do that. Because, you know, fans are going to expect it to actually tie in to the original.
Right.
And if you talk about the original film like they exist in the same universe, people are going to be pissed off. And guess what happened? They didn't listen to them, and they got pissed off. So I don't think Paul Feig or the movie itself or the actresses can be blamed for that. I think that
even the second trailer was crap.
I think it was badly edited. Now, I wouldn't say crap, but it was definitely, it could have run by a few more people that were good at editing.
And I've heard things from other reviewers and whatnot. Paul Feig's movies have terrible trailers. Mm. It's not saying anything to the quality of the movies, because some of them are really good.
You know why?
But they have terrible trailers.
You know why?
Why?
Because he doesn't make the trailers.
Well, maybe I
all
know.
The best trailers
are made by the directors.
Exactly. If you take a look at the trailer for The Shining, it features the blood coming out of the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just in waves, that trailer, you know, alone is enough to haunt you.
Right.
And it was made, you know, put together and decided upon by the director. So anytime you see a really kick-ass trailer, it's very likely the director had at least a lot of input into it. If not, you know, because studios, they're not artists. You know, they're not emotionally invested in the film.
Right. They're ad men. They're ad men.
Yes.
Okay, so enough of everything in the world has been said about the trailer. Enough of the trailer.
Yeah, there are enough dislikes.
Okay, speaking of dislikes, the horrible, horrible remake of the song by Fall Out Boy.
I'm indifferent to it.
No, it was horrible. However, there was another rock version.
I heard that.
Of the Ghostbusters theme, and that was good.
I wish that had been the one. I mean, who was it?
Yes, that was Walk the Moon. I made a mental note to remember it because I liked it. And it's on Spotify.
Yeah, I'm just now going to pull it up.
And I got it. I like it. I like that version very much.
Yes.
I like covers. I like it when another band takes a stab at someone else's song. As long as it's good, of course.
You know what? I bet you it was another studio decision saying that the other band was more well-known, because I've never heard of Walk the Moon.
It's possible. And honestly, you notice how little bit of the Fall Out Boy wonder was? I think in final editing, people got the backlash of the song, and they're like, we can change the song.
Yeah, let's make, Walk the Moons was a lot better. I do think that a cover of a song needs to be, I don't have a problem with a music artist putting their own spin on it, just like I don't have a problem with a director taking an old IP and putting their own spin on it. Mm. But if they change the soul of the song to where it is almost unrecognizable, the further you get away from it being recognizable, the less likable it is. And I definitely think Walk the Moon's version is a lot more likable than
Okay. Go ahead.
By the end of the movie, I found myself asking, was I entertained? Yes. Checkbox.
Yep.
Did I like the effects and the ghosts? Yes. Checkbox. I liked the ghosts. They were different. Yeah. They were different from the original.
They were Scooby-Doo ghosts.
They were visually entertaining to me. Visually entertaining.
Okay, here's what I've come up with.
And I definitely do think that just like Slimer was, they were more inspired by the real Ghostbusters cartoon show than they were by ghosts from the movie. And I think that's fine. That's fine because they took a look at what fans loved the most about the original movie and the IP in general, and that was the original movie and the cartoon show. I was an adamant everyday watcher of that cartoon show,
and I recognized
a lot of the, the feel of it. And I was like, okay, I'm fine with this. I'm fine with cartoon show Slimer, and I'm fine with cartoon show ghosts. I think it's unfair to say they were Scooby-Doo ghosts. I think they were more along the lines of,
I meant Scooby-Doo the movie.
Well, I haven't seen that.
Okay, they were Scooby-Doo ghosts, trust me on
this. I would say that they felt like, Beetlejuice, the movie ghosts.
I can see that.
If those ghosts had been done in CGI instead of claymation and actors in makeup, that's what they would have looked like, I think.
Mm-hmm. And of course, who was the brainiac on this one? Was that Christian Wiig or Kate McKinnon?
Hang on a sec.
They're both blonde. I can't tell from their tiny little thumbnails here.
Christian Wiig was the skeptic. Kate McKinnon was the glasses inventor.
Okay. Her hair was indeed modeled after the real Ghostbusters cartoon Egon.
Yeah. It definitely had that feel.
Yeah.
But I don't think, they tried to push it.
It was.
Say, haha, get it? I didn't, I kind of got that on reflection, but it didn't pop out at me as.
Okay. Now let's talk about misogyny, or the opposite of misogyny. Let's talk about the abuse the men go through in this, because it is the one thing that everyone goes, if you don't like this, you're a misogynist. And, but okay, let's take a look at the fact that there were absolutely positively not a single solitary positive male role in this movie.
That's no problem for me.
You were either a dick or an idiot.
Misandrist, by the way.
Okay, Miss Sanders, whatever. You were either, if you were a man in this movie, you were a dick or you were a moron. I mean, friggin' Kevin couldn't even answer a phone.
I was not offended. I found his character to be hilarious, funny. I like the gags. I'm not going to take it personally.
They defeated the main protagonist by shooting him in the balls.
I also found that funny because they were women and because the main antagonist was a jerk, an undead jerk possessed.
I have never found nut shots funny. Maybe because I've gotten a few in my life. But I've never found nut shots funny. Nut jobs? What the hell's a
nut job? It's a little cringeworthy. You almost feel sad for him for a little bit, and then you realize, okay, wait a minute, he's a giant floating phantasm. He doesn't have balls. I think it was just more of a, you know, a gag.
Oh, no, they all instinctively shot at his balls. But anyway.
Well, I mean, if you're going to choose the weakest spot on a, you know, a spectral entity that you know was originally male, you know, as opposed to whatever he is now that he's dead, yeah, you're going to choose the weakest spot. And that's the weakest spot.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Anyway, let's see. What else can we talk about here? I'm not thrilled with how they used the proton beams.
They were a little haphazard with them, weren't they? They were just like, look, look, lights.
I mean,
they're just shooting them all over the place with no...
They're plasma beams. You can't use them like a whip.
Well, to be fair, that's exactly how they were used in the original film.
No, they were for wrapped... containment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, haven't you ever seen one of those old, you know, 1940s, 50s action movies where the hero... Well, Indiana Jones whips his whip around things. You know, it could be whipped around. Now, Wonder Woman uses her lasso.
But that's an actual lasso.
Yeah, but just imagine, these are proton lassos. That's pretty much what they are. I think that's
okay,
fine.
Okay, we will agree to disagree on this one, because I just don't dig it.
Well, the tech is everything they decide it is. You know, it's they used it like a whip, so it's a whip. If it's a lasso, it's a lasso. I mean, they also used it as you know, just shots out of guns to disperse spectral entities. We'd never seen that before. It doesn't make it that.
Because it's not what the proton beams do. They don't disperse
in that
ghosts.
In that movie, that's what they do. This isn't a faithful recreation of the original film. It is a new movie in a new universe. In that universe, this is what that tech does.
I'm going to grumble low now.
Well, you know what? If they just stuck to the original tech and did exactly what the original Ghostbusters did.
There's a ghost wood chipper. Come on.
I gotta say, that was reaching. And you know, they only used that, like, once on the flying green demon ghost, and then it was crushed by the very next ghost. So you can tell they weren't sure about that one. They were like, we can only use this once, and if it doesn't work, we gotta cut it out.
In order for something like that to work, you'd have to say that the ghost had actual physical form, and you could kill them by tearing them apart.
Well, these ghosts are able to physically interact with the world, and they do leave behind ectoplasm, so they do have...
Ectoplasm's one thing, but to put them through a wood chipper to disperse... No, that's going too far.
It's not like physical blades that are just chopping other ghosts up that they could otherwise pass through. There's some sort of proton blade thing going on inside the thing. You know what?
I crumble now.
It is a little questionable. I think maybe they're hoping to sell some toys, which is entirely...
Oh, that's going to be a great toy. Hey, Mom and Dad, are your kids being good this year? Well, for Christmas, let's get them a freaking wood chipper. Come here, kitty.
I'm thinking along the lines of characters with accessories, that kind of toy. Not... You know, a thing that someone could carry around.
I would hope not.
And they could probably call it something else.
Paul Figg's PR team right now is going, oh, wait a minute, we better take that off the board.
I doubt we didn't
think this through.
Yeah.
17 cats killed in the first 5 minutes of being released.
Yeah, I doubt they would make a child's toy, even full-sized one, functionally.
I don't know. Dan Aykroyd was plugging a bag of glass on Saturday Night Live all those years ago.
What?
You've never seen the old Saturday Night Live skits where Dan Aykroyd used to do fake commercials for them?
And he was trying to sell a bag of glass?
He was plugging a bag of glass as a children's toy.
Oh my God.
you gotta go to YouTube and look up some of his old stuff, man. You know, same with the Bass-O-Matic. The Bass-O-Matic was nothing more than a blender that you throw fish into and you make a shake out of the fish. Okay, so what else can we say? The character of Kevin was a walking bag of doorknobs.
Yes. But, I mean, that's not to say that all men are. Just
no, I'm just saying that that was ridiculously...
It was ridiculous. Yes, it was. And I think it was hilarious. You know, because, you know, Kate McKinnon's character is... oh, wait a minute. No, not Kate McKinnon.
Kristen Wiig's character.
Yeah, Kristen Wiig's character is fawning over this, you know, this Greek god, you know.
You're hired! And everyone else is like, what, really?
Oh, my God, are you serious? You can't even use a phone. You know, did you see him trying to answer the phone that was in the fish tank? He's like, yeah. Oh, I can't get at the glass. He took the lenses out of his glasses because they kept getting smudged up. And he keeps walking around, pinching his eyes, going, you know. Trying to make it like, gosh, you know, I wish there was something that could make my eyes stop hurting like this.
Well, maybe put your lenses back in. Okay. Yeah. So, overall, it was okay.
Yeah.
I gave it a resounding meh. You seem to have liked it more than me. That's fine.
I would place it definitely between the quality of the original and Ghostbusters 2.
That's where I put it, too, when Liz and I were talking about it. It's Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters 2016, and then Ghostbusters 2. Because let's face it, Ghostbusters 2 sucked.
It was definitely lacking. It coasted off the success of the original. They didn't try hard enough with the second one.
Now let's talk about another great cameo.
What's that?
Another great cameo in the city of New York, the city of Boston. It was filmed in Boston. None of that was New York.
And Australia, I think. Well, some sky shots, I'm sure, were filmed.
Well,
I
think they did some.
I mean, you have to have the city skyline.
But Central Park was not Central Park.
Mm.
Not at all.
Now you got to admit though, filming in New York City, especially now, has got to be insanely expensive.
I mean,
where are you going to house the crew?
Well, that's why a lot of places they use Vancouver.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I think it's fine to let them get away with that. That's
beginning of the movie, I'm looking at the Haunted Mansion / museum. I'm like, I've seen that. I know that building. That's not New York.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the credits, you got to watch the entirety of the credits, by the way. There is an after credit scene.
Well, if you're listening to this, we're going to assume that you've seen the movie.
No, I assume nothing. But, if you toward the end of the credits, thank you to the city of Boston and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. It's like the only scenes that were shot in New York were really the outside of Hook and Ladder 8.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad that they got that shot, and I'm glad that's where they ended up.
And there is a part 2 in the works. It's already been announced. So more than likely, they're going to be in the original Ghostbusters headquarters.
Which I like. I love that they got their funding, you know, within the story of the movie. And they're like, okay, we got to fund you because obviously this shit's going on. But it kind of makes me wonder, well, if the guy's machine is all shut down and everything, then, you know, if he was the cause behind it, then what happens... Once all that problem has been solved, there would have to be some new thing. So I'm looking forward to that. It was hinted at the final scene. Should we say about the final scene? What should we say?
We don't know for sure that this is going to be the central plot line of the next movie.
Mm.
But in the last scene, Patty's listening to a tape, listening for EMPs or EVPs. EVPs, yeah. And she's like, what's Zool?
Uh-huh. Everyone's like, yeah. And everyone's kind of like, shrug. Don't know.
So, of course, Zool is the main protagonist in the original Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
So, who knows? You might see Zool once again.
You know, I was disappointed that all the damage to the city got magically reversed when the portal closed.
Yeah.
But now that they stuck that Zool on the end, it's like, well, of course. Okay, they can't destroy the city twice. They're still in a situation where publicly the mayor cannot acknowledge, you know, their legitimacy.
Right. They're undercover secretly. Ghostbusters.
Well, they're out in the open, but everyone thinks they're a fraud. They don't know that they're really legitimate,
mm-hmm.
and funded by the city. So now they've got the opportunity to be, you know, publicly redeemed, even though everyone already knows that they did a great thing, and that everybody, you know, obviously acknowledges that they saved the city.
Okay, so there's one more thing I want to talk about,
mm.
and that is probably the best editing choice in the entire movie.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I was so relieved.
I was like, no. Oh, okay, it's gone.
It's gone.
Oh,
Kevin, or you know, possessed Kevin, is up on the building and he strikes a Saturday Night Live pose, and everyone does a Saturday Night Live pose, and I'm like, no.
He's pretty much possessed the entire crowd of FBI guys.
Don't go into a dance routine.
I was like, please no, you'll ruin the. Oh, and they passed it up. And then they just stuck it in the credits, which
is. I mean, they shot the scene. They may as well make the credits interesting, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So
I was you have no idea. You have no idea. I was like, thank you for someone having some common sense.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so it did not suck.
No, it didn't suck. I'm relieved.
It was, instead of being, I mean, let's face it, the original Ghostbusters was a horror movie with a group of goofy guys in it.
I think it's a comedy horror, definitely a supernatural comedy. Let's say that.
No, the original was a comedy horror. This one is comedy. It's just comedy. There's no scary moments in it at all.
No. I disagree. I was definitely jolted in my seat along with my friend a couple of times. But that was, you know.
Yeah, but we've talked about that before. I don't jump scare anymore.
Right, but this wasn't cheap jump scares. This was actual ghosts jumping out. You know, so it was actually something to be legitimately scared of.
Oh, and we got to hand it to Spirit Halloween. Those ghostly mirrors that they sell every year are really going to sell this year.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They came up with those mirrors a couple years back, and they used them in the friggin' movie.
Did they? Those weren't CGI? Because the ghost behind those mirrors.
In the movie, it was probably CGI. But Spirit Halloween has been selling that stuff for years. It's like a 30-inch TV or something like that with a picture frame around it, and they sell you a DVD.
Oh, I see.
And they have several DVDs to play.
And you just hang it up on the wall, and people walk by it, and they're like, "Whoa!"
Right. I mean, you can buy it as a picture frame, or you can buy it where you just stick it in your window.
Oh, that's cool.
So you see it on the outside. Yeah, they've been doing that for years.
Wow.
So I'm sure they're going to sell very well this year.
I would be very surprised if that's not where they got the idea.
Oh, more than likely.
And I guarantee you that shop is going to be, you know, somebody who sells licensed Ghostbuster mirrors, you know, so you can have the Ghostbusters stamp on it somewhere, you know, licensed prop. Wow.
All right. So it did not suck. It's a comedy. I think kids will like it. This is very geared for kids. This is very kid friendly.
Yes, yes.
I honestly can't even think of any innuendo. I mean, normally in a kid, I mean, hell, in most Pixar movies, there's a lot of innuendo.
Yeah, the original Ghostbusters had some sexuality in it, and I'm glad and relieved that there was no overt, serious romantic relationship going on in this movie to distract it.
Right.
You know, there wasn't any, you know, it was more of a lust interest and a love interest, you know, with the ditzy secretary.
Right.
Which I think he had a lot of fun playing.
More than likely.
Relieved at that. And that there were no, you know, other than the, you know, the shot to the groin with the big baddie at the end.
Oh, wait. Worst part of the whole fucking movie. The logo coming to life.
Eh.
I'm not talking about the big ass inflated logo, but I'm talking about the animated cartoony transition. That was bad.
Are you talking about when he just manifested himself as the actual logo
and then stepped out of the circle with the cross through? That was bad. That did not fit at all.
I don't know. I think he's just kind of making fun of them. Mm. You know, he took their logo and said, you know, oh, is this, you know, he had to start off as something innocuous and cute, just like the joke said, and then out of the circle
It just didn't fit with the feel of the scene, I thought. But if anyone has ever seen the real Ghostbusters animated thing, that's the exact same thing that they did before and after breaks.
You know what? You're
and
right.
Now back to the You're real right. Ghostbusters.
Yeah, that is a very. I'd forgotten all about that. Yeah. That is a extremely overt reference.
But I just feel that it didn't fit.
Yeah, it was a little bit too nudge at the fans. If it had been more subtle.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, maybe. But I think it's okay. It's not like it ruined the movie for me. I didn't remember that.
It didn't ruin. It was just kind of. It was a cringe scene. It was like, what, really? Okay, anyway, we've been talking about this for 40 minutes now. So, did not suck. Bring the kids. I think they'll have a good time.
You know, my friend argued that he didn't feel that this movie needed, I put the air quotes around that, needed to be made. And I gotta say, I disagree. Because next Halloween, there are going to be so many little girls dressed as Ghostbusters. And I think reason enough to make this movie.
I really think it would have been better received if it was Ghostbusters 3.
Mm.
Rather than just rebooting the series with all women. I really think a Ghostbusters 3, if like Ray, even if it was just Ray, who was training a new generation, but you know, they had a little training thing at the beginning and then he stepped aside. And then if they had like Egon's funeral at the beginning or something like that, I think that would
I don't know.
Tasteful.
I think that would have been just a little bit too, you know, that would have been a little bit too mixed with reality to, you know, call attention. I don't know. I think it's fine that they just kind of took the idea and made it their own. It's not what fans were hoping for the longest time, and I think that's why it got a lot of backlash. But just on its own, outside of the harsh criticism it received before it came out, I think it's fine. It's not the greatest movie ever, but it certainly didn't suck.
All right. So that's our word on it. It didn't suck.
I had fun. I really liked it.
You know, I think that's something we need to add to all of our stuff. Suck didn't suck. Okay, now you can go to Cinema Unrest and read my review. I have a whole list of good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. But overall, it didn't suck. All right.
Cool. Awesome. Well, I'm glad that you found things in the movie to enjoy. That was the same result with my friend.
Yeah.
He found things in the movie to enjoy. So I'm relieved. He was adamant. He was determined to hate it. That's why I offered to
I went
you know, to pay for his ticket.
I went in with an open mind, just like I promised I would.
Yeah. It's hard, though, when you've got so much negativity being dumped upon it day after day, you know, so I was really relieved when I read a few positive reviews on Facebook from friends who said that they were entertained and they had fun, and that's what they expect out of a movie, so what the hell?
But, you know? I do have to say, I watched the original Ghostbusters today.
You know, I have that on Blu-ray now sitting next to me, and I think I'm going to watch that tonight.
There you go.